Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Webster defines hero as a mythical or legendary figure, often a divine descent, endowed with great strength or ability, an illustrious warrior, a man admired for his achievements, one that shows great courage. It concerns me that today it seems that there is more emphasis on mythological, imaginary heroes. And drunken, drug addict singers as the heroes of our children and of our country. I want to share with you, I read many stories. This one is just one of so many. This is the story of Kyle Carpenter. He was a standout running back in high school who hardly ever went down on the first hit. Kyle Carpenter joined the Marine Corps upon graduation. By the way, I almost didn't read this because he's a Marine, but I continue. In July of 2010, Kyle and his unit found themselves in Marja, a remote area in southern Afghanistan. Their mission was to root out Taliban insurgents, and nearly every patrol that went out got into a several-hour-long firefight. On the morning of November 21st, 2010, Kyle and Lance Corporal Nick Ufazio were standing guard on the rooftop of a building as their platoon rested inside. Out of nowhere, grenades started to land and explode inside the courtyard of their compound. The final grenade exploded on the roof where Kyle and Nick were on watch. According to military investigators who studied both the damage to the rooftop and Kyle Carpenter's injuries, it was concluded that Kyle threw himself on top of the grenade to shield his friend and fellow Marine from the blast. When Marines from the compound reached Kyle, he was covered in blood, missing most of his lower jaw. He was medevaced to the nearest base, where he was declared PEA, or patient expired on arrival. Doctors revived him, but his heart stopped twice more during the week that it took to get him to Walter Reed Medical Center outside Washington, D.C. There, he was placed in a medically induced coma for 5 weeks. Kyle had lost his right eye. Most of his teeth had been blown out. He had over 30 fractures in his right arm alone. He could barely sit up in bed. But he envisioned a goal to one day run in a marathon. After nearly 40 surgeries, 2.5 years in the hospital, and endless rehabilitation, Kyle Carpenter went home. On June 19, 2014, Kyle Carpenter became the second living Marine since the Vietnam War to receive the Medal of Honor. And from initially not even being able to make it around the nurse's station at Walter Reed, Kyle Carpenter's determination and will to survive led him to complete the 2014 Marine Corps Marathon. Kyle Carpenter is a modern-day hero whose spirit could never be tackled. Too many of those stories end up with them coming home in a box. Heroes. I'm going to talk to you about heroes. Last week, I talked to you about faith basically laying kind of a foundation of faith, what faith looks like. What it sounds like. You know, Hebrews chapter 11 gives us what's called the Hall of Fame of Faith. That's what it's been characterized. Heroes of faith. If you have your Bibles, you could turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. In this passage, the author begins to kind of pull this thing together. And as I said to you last week, it is amazing to me that Hebrews chapter 11 wasn't Hebrews chapter 1. Because it truly, in many ways, sets the foundation upon which everything else that the writer says in the book is standing upon the reality of faith. He concludes this faith speak by saying, "And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon or Barak or Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and caves and holes. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect." In other words, they were fighting, if you will, an inferior battle. They were fighting with inferior tools. They had inferior abilities. We who have accepted Christ as our Savior and have the Holy Spirit within us have something that they long for. These in this book are heroes of faith. But what he is saying in that last verse is that they did not find the perfection. They did not find the goal, if you will, of their lives until you and I have come in. We have something today that Gideon longed for. We have something today that Samuel only knew in a passing way. You see, these men knew what it was to experience the anointing of the Holy Spirit for an occasion. You and I, if we know the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit has come into us, and we can have every single day the power of Gideon and his army in us. We can have the ability that Samuel had of seeing out to the future and anointing kings in us every single day. We can have a David slays Goliath day, every day. Thank you, Cindy. Maybe the reason why we don't is because we do not appreciate the power of God that is within us. Now listen to what he says. "These all were committed for their faith, but none of them received what was promised. God had planned something better for us, so that together with us they might be made perfect. They're the fulfillment of what they were pushing toward. These who gave their lives for the cause of the Father. They were pushing for what you and I take for granted every day in the Lord. You see, I'm convinced,
and I need to move this because I can tell something's not working right. Let me try that.
Sorry, it pinched hairs on my chest when I did that. Okay. I told you it's one of those days. Anything can happen. We'll just see. This may be interesting. We'll see what happens. This might be the day I fall off this platform. Today I want to talk about heroic faith. Heroic faith. You see, sometimes we get settled and satisfied for just simply believing in Jesus. It's like, give me a reward. Give me a pat on the back because I believe in Jesus. And praise God if you do believe in Jesus. And praise his holy name. And thank you, Lord, for your grace if we actually are going to make it into heaven. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm just do this for one for each one of you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, if you don't do it, I have to. If I don't, the rocks will cry out. Okay, so I'm very thankful for salvation, the faith that believes that Jesus Christ came into the world and died on the cross for my sins. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. But I want to tell you this morning that the Lord has something more. I believe that he has a heroic faith for you and I to walk in. He said, well, Pastor, what does it look like? What does God want? What is God, exciting thing does God want to do in my life? It will be unique. It will be unique to you. It will be on an ordinary day. When you and I are willing to express heroic faith. I'm going to change the title of that. I'm going to call it water walking faith. Because they're one and the same. But you'll understand in a moment. I would ask you this question before I move forward. Have you ever staked your life on faith in God? I've read the account of several of the Medal of Honor winners, there we go. Those who are still living. Most all of them will not proclaim themselves to be heroes. They simply cared for their buddies. They simply were taken up with the situation in the particular moment that they were in. They didn't wake up one morning and go, oh, I'm going to be a hero. They were in the moment, ready for the moment, and they cared. Have you ever asked the Lord to do something outside your ability? You see, when heroes are made of individuals who are willing to go beyond what is natural, heroes of faith, water walking faith, will happen to individuals who are willing to let God be God beyond their ability. It's exciting. It's crazy. But I believe that God wants to do that in every single believer's life. He wants you to be able to look back on moments or moment in your life where he exceeded your ability, took you beyond the natural into the supernatural, and made you a superhero. Have you ever been willing to swing your legs over the side of the boat to walk in obedience to the Lord? Well, This is going to be my challenge to you this morning. It's there. It's possible. God is able. In the same way that he enabled Peter to walk on water, he can make you do the same. You say, walk on water? That sounds cool. It doesn't always look the same. Okay? Not everybody will be in a storm on the Sea of Galilee with Jesus coming to them on the water. But every single one of us face tasks that are bigger than us and opportunities that exceed us, where God can show himself to be the God of the unknown and the more powerful. I would point out before we go to Matthew, the 14th chapter, and if you want to turn there, caught him. Matthew chapter 14. I would point out that in this story, even as I read it to you here in a moment, that only one of them actually got out of the boat. But I want you to realize that the possibility of getting out of that boat existed for all of them. Every single one of those men could have swung their legs over the side of the boat and walked to shore and left the boat behind. You say, how do you know that? Because I know firsthand that God is still doing things for people who are willing to walk on water. People who are willing to step out in faith beyond what they know or understand. People who are willing to let God be bigger than their abilities. He is more than just a saving God. He wants to do in us. That's what Hebrews 11, that's what those closing verses are saying. He wants to do in us who have the resident of his Holy Spirit in us. He wants to do greater things than the stories that we read in the Old Testament. You know, you read those things, wow. One man slays 1,000. Wow. So can you. So can you. Now listen to me this morning and please hear what I'm saying if you don't hear anything else. I am not trying to put pressure on you with faith. What I want to do is to show you what's behind door number 2. Huh? That if you so choose, there is something that is there for you as a believer that is more than simply you going through your life on your own ability and making it to heaven by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to do more with his people than they could even ask or think. Let's read it real quick. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go to ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Verse 29, come. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? When they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. And when they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched him were healed. Lord Jesus, help us this morning. Help us to move beyond the little faith that we have that enables us to believe that you died on the cross for our sins. Help us, O Lord, to move beyond the simplicity of faith that says, that's enough. That's all that I need. Challenge us, Holy Spirit, this morning through the power of your word and the example of Peter. Show us, God, that there is a door open before us, a door of heroic faith, a door of water walking faith that we can walk through, that we can experience in our lives, that our testimony would ring out just like Gideon's testimony and Barak's testimony. And we will stand with them one of these days. And what a day it will be when we're in your presence. But Lord, while we're here on this earth, may we walk in your power, not just our own. I pray this morning that you would help us to realize on this Veterans Sunday that there is more for us than we have the ability to do. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Water walking faith happens when we're on assignment from Jesus. It's important. Water walking faith happens when we are on assignment for Jesus. You say, oh, then we all have to be preachers. We all have to be evangelists. No. Each of us have an assignment. Each of us have a mission. The Lord sends his missionaries, his ambassadors into the plant for General Motors. He sends them into Walmart. Sends them into the sheriff's department. Sends them into the hospitals. Sends them into the high school. You see, you can walk in there. I can't walk in there. Now they have the doors locked. I have to have purpose to go in there. And they'll say, why are you here? I say, well, I want to come in here and I want to shake heaven and earth. Yeah, you know exactly how that would turn out, don't you? Please call the ambulance. But you can walk in there. Teach those kids math, right? Math. Teach those kids math. And live a kind of life before them that shows them the miraculous. What do you teach? Sixth grade book. Oh, that's everything, isn't it? You teach a little of everything. Wow, smart. You don't teach everything. You see, people need the Lord. And they need to see Jesus in action in our lives. Not just the testimony of our mouths, but the actions of our lives. When we're going through struggles, they need to see that something supernatural is happening in us. You get too far ahead of myself. Water walking faith happens when we're on assignment. Military heroes don't happen at home. You ever notice that? It's always on a battlefield. It's always on a place of assignment. They're out on patrol. Even the one that I read to you, they were out on patrol. They were out doing their job. They were out on assignment. If a soldier's sick, he's often still in the field because he doesn't want to let his buddies down. If he's in pain or discomfort, he's in the field carrying out his assignment because he doesn't want to give the enemy any advantage. Oh, church. If we had that same determination for the things of the Lord, what could we do? What could we do? Something shakes us a little bit. We abandon our post. We step back. You want to see the miraculous. You want to see God do incredible things with your life. The beginning is that you've got to be on assignment for Him. You've got to be serving Him. If you haven't noticed this, my Bible says that when we step into His presence, His statement is not going to be, "Wow, you made it." He's not interested really in skin of the teeth type people. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I'll make you ruler over many." This whole thing of water walking faith begins by getting in the boat in obedience to Jesus. So what a horrible thing. The Lord sent them out onto that stormy waters. You betcha He did. He sent them out there. He dispatched them. And He had an incredible plan for them. I just wonder, I can't help but wonder, if He wasn't looking for the opportunity that every single one of them, then when Peter said, "If it's you, let me come," that the rest of them would go, "Me too, me too, me too." But then I can picture old Bartholomew sitting there going, "Don't say anything, don't say a word." You see, discipleship is tied up to obedience. I'm not going to have time to fully develop this morning, but I can just tell you a little bit. Have you ever really stopped to think about what we do with the cross? If somebody's wearing one today, don't get all shook up at me, okay? Don't leave the church because of this. Just gain a little understanding and let's walk on together. But you know, we put them in gold and hang them about our necks. Do you realize, well, let me give you an example of what that's like. How many of you have ever gone to a jeweler and said, "I would like for you to fashion me an electric chair? Because what I want to do is I want to hang it around my neck on a necklace. And then I want some of them in paintings, and I want some of them in wood, and then I want to hang them on the walls of my house." So you walk into somebody's house and they've got an electric chair around their neck, an electric chair's gas chamber over here, guillotine, you know? Because see, that's what it was in Jesus' day. These people were accustomed to seeing criminals go through the streets with the crossbar of a cross on their shoulders, arms tied to it. And as they walked through the streets, people would line the streets and curse at them and spit on them and yell at them because they were criminals. And then they were taken outside the city because they didn't want any of that to darken their city. So they would take them outside the city onto a hill where a place where there was a standard standing up, and they would raise them up onto the standard and they would die there for their crimes. That was the context in which Jesus said, "If any man comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." A little different picture, isn't it? We've got the cross, and we say, "Well, the reason that I have one in my home is because Jesus died on one." Praise the Lord. But you know what? Whenever anybody walks into the house, you might want to point to that cross and say, "Do you know what? The reason why I have that cross up there is because my Jesus died on one 2,000 years ago. And I do not want to forget that He died a horrible death just for me. I realize it's not that great a decoration because it's an emblem of death. But that's the reason. And by the way, He said, if I'm going to come after Him, I have to bear my cross daily and follow Him." Once again, water walking faith happens when we're on assignment for Jesus. Second thing is this: water walking faith happens in a storm. did on that day, right? They were out in the middle, and it says the wind was against them. They were rowing. They were out in the middle of the lake. They were rowing, but they were getting no place because the wind was against them. They were in the midst of a storm. Heroic acts on the battlefield often happen in the middle of a firefight, surrounded by the enemy, wounded, dying, lost limbs, multiple bullet holes, concussions. Heroes are generally bloody and in their own blood. Heroes rise when everything is going wrong, badly, upside down, and horrible. And that's when heroes rise. Young David marched out and fought Goliath when the whole army was shuddering in fear and quaking, fearing that they were going to lose, fearing that they were going to be taken over by the Philistines. And that's when a man of God walked forward and said, "If my God can save me," let's stop right there. If he can save me, he said, from the lion and the bear. But you and I can tag onto that. If my God can save me, then he can save me from this enemy. Too many Christians, young folks, too many Christians are being turned back because there's a storm. You might as well get it settled right down in you now. There are going to be storms. There are going to be storms, physical storms. There are going to be emotional. There are going to be relational storms. There are even going to be spiritual storms that take place in your life. You're going to cry out and say, "God, where are you? I don't feel you. I can't sense your presence. Where are you?" Now, you have a choice on those days. You can say, "Well, God's not listening to my prayers. He hasn't heard me, so I'm just going to forget him." Or you can say to yourself, "Hold on a minute. God does some of his greatest work in the most intense storms." Navy. I was on board a destroyer escort guided missile ship, DEG, in the middle of the North Atlantic. December, January, February, March, and April. The most fun time to be in the North Atlantic as you can ever imagine. On top of that, a hurricane came up the coast of the United States, and as it made the curve, then they turn it, they don't call it a hurricane anymore, they call it a nor'easter. And we were parked safely against the pier, and our captain said, "We're going to sea. Make ready." And so we went out, and for about 3 or 4 days, we played ship against storm. I saw actual full-size waves come and break the radar off of the top of our ship. I was standing on the bridge and heard the crack. Never did find that thing. Storms are incredible. Some storms in our lives are beyond description. They cause fear. And if I could put it in this way, they actually take away from us. They start robbing us of their strength. Anybody in here going through storm? Come on, don't be ashamed. We can all participate together. Here we go. Thank you. Going through storm. You know how it is. You know, the longer the storm goes on, the weaker you get. The more difficult it is. Imagine those guys out there in the middle of the lake rowing against. The wind's blowing them, trying to blow them the other direction, and they are trying to row against it. And the longer that this is going on, you know, Jesus left them. It was still light. Or they left Jesus. They pulled away from the pier when it was still light outside. He came to them in the fourth watch of the night. That was the wee hours of the morning. And they're out there struggling against this. Why in the world? Why would he do that? Because, see, just like with Gideon, he told Gideon, he said, "You can't go there with 25,000 men. Because if you go 25,000 men, you're not going to realize that I did this. You're going to think you did it." So he put him through some paces. He gets down to 300 men. Now, 300 men seems like a lot, but if you had 25,000 and got down to 300 men, and it says that those that the enemy is setting out there too many camels to count, not alone men that were out there they were going to go do battle with. You can't tell me that when he looked around and he saw his little 300 men and he saw the scope that it was out before him in the valley, that he didn't say to himself, boy, it's sure storming here. Huh? You see, it took faith on Gideon's part to just go, to be there, to stay, and not run. When the angel of the Lord came and told him, said, thou mighty man of valor, he called him. Why? Because that angel was speaking to the potential that Gideon had. Oh, mighty men and women of God this morning. Do you realize the power that you have at your beck and call? But may I tell you that it may come in the midst of a storm in your life. You see, what happens in storms is that we want to concentrate just on the storm. Even our prayers, Lord, in this storm, and then I'll do great things for you. And the Lord is saying, serve me in the storm, and I'll do great things for you. You see, water walking faith is expressed in the middle of the storm, not when the storm is over. Once they were safely on the other shore, there wouldn't have been any walking on water. Oh, I wish I had time. We could have some fun with this, but I'm going to move on. Water walking faith only happens with desire. You got to want it. You may be totally content with just making it to heaven. You know, take this whole world, give me Jesus. I'm going to go to heaven, praise the Lord, streets of gold, gates of pearl, house that he has prepared for me, can't wait, here we go. Lord Jesus, can't wait till this is all over with so that I can go and be in heaven with you. You know, those are noble things. Praise the Lord, I have a place in heaven. But you know what? I want to see God's working in my life here on this earth. I want to see what God can do with this incomplete vessel. With the weakness of character, ability, personality, and all of this. I want to see what he can do with a 66-year-old man's body and mind. I want to see what he can do when storms are raging. Now, that may not be interesting to you, but I just want you to realize that my Bible says that it's possible. You see, he came to Moses when Moses was 80. And he said to Moses, now, Moses, let's get started. Let's see what incredible things that I can do through you. And Moses said, me? I can't even talk, he said. God said, who made your mouth? Huh? You see, we want to throw into the path of what God is doing. We want to throw our weaknesses into the path as though God's going to go, oh, okay, well then, okay. I understand. You're in a storm, you're weak, you're, okay, gotcha. What he's wanting to do is to enable us to do what we cannot do. That tells me, folks, that at our very weakest point in life, that's when God really can use us. When everybody else is saying, oh, well, you're not fit, you're not able, you can't. That's when God says, I will. You see, these guys, the rest of these guys in the boat, by this time had already gotten accustomed to old Pete. Forgive me, Pete. Huh? Because anytime anything happened, he speaks up. Huh? Whatever size his sandal was, he knew it from the inside. Chewed on it often. So I'm sure, can't you just see Philip over here, and definitely Thomas, who doubted, that's a terrible thing to call him, but nevertheless, you know, doubting Thomas, he's sitting over on the other side, two seats back behind with the row in, what do you call it? Oar, there we go, in his hands like this. And they look up and they see Jesus walking on the water and they're scared to death. And all of a sudden, Peter says, Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you on the water. Can't you see it? These were real men. These were real men. I mean, you know, you got Philip back, sitting back here, and Thomas goes, okay, here we go. Huh? And Bartholomew is just there. That's why I always picture him. He was just quiet because he didn't make any kind of waves anywhere along the line. But nevertheless, see, you think about it. And Jesus said, come. He would never have had the opportunity had he not desired to see what the Lord could do. I can't tell you this morning exactly what was going through Peter's mind. Maybe not much. May have just simply been, well, if he can do it, then maybe I can too. Now, let me just briefly, because I can't do this, so my time is up, but tell you where my mind goes. I was sitting for over an hour last evening, and just sitting there in the quiet, thinking about, I wonder if the Lord changed the molecular structure of the water to hold Peter, or if Peter became weightless to where he could walk on top of the water. So I'm thinking of all the different possibilities of that. I hope that troubles some of you like it did to me. Whatever he did, something happened. But it happened because Peter desired it. Now see, you can go after Superman or any of these other mythical heroes, or you can find a place in God that will enable you to do supernatural things, young folks and older folks. But it's going to come when you and I desire to see what God can do. You know, I debated on whether to put this out there, but I'm going to go ahead. I might as well. You can think badly of if you want to. I'm going to tell you a personal situation where when I started the church in north, on the north side of Indianapolis called Day Spring, we were in the Knights of Columbus for 18 months. It was a dance hall. So we would go in every Sunday morning and we had to clean the place up and clean all the beer bottles and all the stuff up and all the gambling paraphernalia and all the drug paraphernalia and all this stuff. We had to clean all of that up and then set up chairs and then set up our sound system and have church for 18 months. And so I'm crying out to the Lord, oh Lord, we need another building. Well, this was at 73rd or 71st in Keystone and at 72nd in Keystone, up on the north side of Indianapolis, there was this building sitting there, about 8,000 or 9,000 square foot building. But it was a dump, really bad. The Lord said, look at that building. So I contacted a realtor and I went and looked at the building. They had a sign on the window. $650,000. We were a new church. About 70 people by that time. 80 people. Lord, you can do this. And he said, do it. So I got an attorney and I made an offer of $170,000. I did not know where we would get the $170,000. And the building was up for sale for $650,000. I took it to the offices of Himmelgarn Racing because I found out that he was the one that owned the building. And asked for their attorney, and their attorney came, and I gave him the offer of $170,000 for that building. And he smiled at me. You know that smile that says... He said, sir, he said, we owe more than that on the building. So he said, I'm certain that Mr. Himmelgarn will not be able to make this offer. I said, well, you take it to him. He said, I will. He said, I'll take it to him. And I said, and please let me know what the response is. And so, okay. So he took him the offer. The next day, I got a phone call. The attorney said, well, it is as you said, as I said to you, that's not enough. He said, if you would like to increase your offer. I said, well, no, sir. I said, $170,000 is, that's it. That's the best that I can do because it's going to cost a lot of money to renovate the building. And, you know, I don't know. I didn't say to him, I don't know where we're going to get the money to begin with, but. Two weeks later, they called me, and he said, I don't know why this is happening. He said, but we're going to take your offer of $170,000 on that building. It took me 5 months because there were actually three owners. At the table at the closing, there were six attorneys sitting there. I felt really little. That doesn't happen often. All these different entities. And Mr. Himmelgarn was sitting down at the end of the table, kind of holding court, you know, as a rich person does. And I'm at the opposite end of the table, and he goes, young man, I don't know why I'm doing this, but let's get it done. And then all the lawyers started doing their thing. And we closed on that building, and I walked the congregation in the next Sunday into that rat trap and showed them what the Lord was doing. The incredible things that God was doing, and they're like. What, 26, 27 years later? They're up there having church today in that. Now, that's just one example. That's one just tangible, okay? Folks, you're never going to see the miracles that faith can bring unless you are willing to swing your legs over the side of the boat. There's one other piece of this that you need to know, and that is that Jesus says, come. Don't try to walk on water unless Jesus says, come. But you know what? I believe this with all my heart, that if you are desiring it, if you are trusting, if you are believing, if you are moving and doing what God wants you to do, if you're in the place where God wants you to be, He will get excited about your desire to walk on water. He wants to take His people to places that they could never take themselves. Have you ever thought about that place that you work as being your territory, your mission field, your place that God has assigned you? Have you ever gotten up in the morning and said to the Lord, Lord Jesus, how do you want to show yourself in this place where I'm laboring? How can I swing my legs over the side of the boat in this place that you have assigned me? And let you be glorified. Something happen. Make something happen that could only happen because you have done it. Maybe you would save the worst of the worst of the worst sinners in that place through my testimony. What does God want to do? I can't tell you specifically this morning. All I can tell you is, I know that he wants to show you the impossible. If you are willing to have water walking faith, a faith that only happens when you're on assignment with the Lord, that is, that you recognize that you're on assignment with the Lord. Huh? You see, let me stop right there. You know, the disciples could have said, well, ministry is going to begin. The really great stuff is going to begin when we get to the other shore. So we just need to row our brains out because that's where the really incredible stuff is going to happen. Huh? Great things happened on the shore. But look what happened in the storm. Whenever we go through the storm, whether it's a physical battle, emotional battle, spiritual battle, or a relationship battle, begin to look for ways that God can be glorified and exalted and honored. Look for ways that he can come out being praised. Huh? Now, one other piece of that, you might be surprised to realize that it was in the midst of fear. They were terrified. You see, the enemy likes to stop us with fear. But faith trumps fear. Lord, I don't know what this storm's going to be. It's going to overtake me. It's going to be my end. It's going to be. This is it. It's going to be out. Lord. That's one way. Or, Lord, in the midst of my fear, in the midst of my struggle, in the midst of my trial, in the midst of this storm, let me walk to you. Then you get to the other side of it, and you go, wow, look what the Lord has done. Praise God. Praise God. You know, I remember on a Sunday morning, a couple came walking into the sanctuary, and they were decorated. They were wanting to look like bikers, and they looked like bikers. This was up in Michigan, where I pastored. And they came in, and they sat over on this side, just about where Cindy is sitting in the sanctuary. And they came in, and they sat down. And you could just tell every piece of it, they were totally and completely unchurched. And so then everything we did, the singing and everything that we did, they either nothing or else they scowled. You know? Come on. You know, we're showing emotion and stuff. And they sit over there. At that point in time, I was setting up on the platform, and I had to pray, Lord, you got to help me because this is going to be a terrible, terrible service because they are distracting me terribly in their, you know, just the physical way that they are handling this service. I got up to preach. The Holy Spirit came on me. I forgot all about them. Preached the message, gave the altar call, and both of them stood up and came to the altar and knelt down and gave their hearts to Jesus with tears. I'm like, whoa. God, I don't know how you did that, but that was incredible. But you know, it wasn't even the end of it, because that Friday I had his funeral. He worked for the state. And on Monday morning, he was walking across the lot, and a lady in a large front-end loader drove right over the top of him and killed him. And on Friday that week, I had his funeral and had all of the motorcycle gang filling that place and got to preach the gospel to them. What I saw to be absolutely impossible and had to pray for the strength to just be able to deliver the message that the Lord laid upon my heart. God had another plan. He had brought them into the house because he knew what Monday held and he knew what Friday was going to hold. Church, come on. Let's give God a chance. Not just to save us, but to surprise us. Now, I'm sure, you know, we always want to talk about, yeah, he took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to sink. And I'm sure that the other disciples, you know, when Jesus said, why did you doubt? Huh? Bartholomew's sitting back there going. And Thomas goes, told you. But he was the only one of them that ever knew what it was like to walk on water. He said, well, I'm afraid I might fail. Die trying. Fail trying for the Lord. You'll walk away still with a testimony like you won't believe what God can do. What does he want to do? Let me close with those two questions that I asked you there at the very beginning. Have you ever staked your life on your faith in God? Have you ever asked the Lord to do something outside your ability? As your pastor, I'm praying for you for that. I want you to experience water walking faith, the faith of the heroes. I believe my Lord wants it to happen in you. Would you stand with me, please? Let me just mention quickly, we do have a few tickets left. If there are a few of you who would like to join us, definitely if any of the veterans are here, we have tickets, a few tickets left back at the information booth. We'd love to have you join us for lunch. There's just a few, but stop by there. I appreciate all of the veterans and those who have come to be with us here today. I just believe that the Holy Spirit is dealing with some hearts. That you're saying, you know, I really want to see God do some impossible things in my life and through my life. If that's you this morning, you know, we're not going to linger here. I realize that it's 12 o'clock, it's the magical hour. Pumpkins start turning back, or chariots start turning back into pumpkins or whatever. But if inside you, you're saying, you know what? Maybe some of you say, I'm in a storm. And I've been putting all my attention on the storm. But you know what? I want to begin to put my attention on what the Lord can do in this storm. I'm not going to wait till the storm ends. I just want to invite you to just step out and come here to this altar right now. You say, well, Pastor, why do I need to do that? Well, you see, Peter couldn't walk on water unless he got out of the boat. And sometimes faith begins with a movement. Just moving. You say, well, you know, if I do this in front of everybody, then, you know, then they're going to be wondering when it's going to happen. Huh? Yeah, just like the other guys in the boat. There will be some like Bartholomew who will sit there silently. There will be some who will nudge one another. Oh, look, they think that they're going to see the miraculous. That's okay. Let them think whatever they want. I want to see what God can do. I serve an incredible God. He's not bound to what this body can do, what this mind can come up with. Nothing is impossible with God. Would you all say that? Especially you here standing at this altar. Would you say that? Nothing is impossible with God. Come on, say it one more time. Not to me, but you say it to you. Nothing is impossible with God.